Happy Sabbath, church family. It's nice to see all of you here. I've never seen a Sabbath with more red in church than today. Red seems to be the theme, and appropriately so, since it's Christmas, and we have an exciting week ahead of us. We've been studying through several of the characters in the Christmas story over the last few weeks. And today we're going to look at several more of the characters in our Christmas story. I've noticed that a lot of times life doesn't go as planned. Sometimes there are curves, bumps in the road, and our plans, as well as we might lay them, often don't go as exactly as we'd planned them. I've shared several stories of some of my family members over the years, and this one is a picture of my maternal grandmother and grandfather, and this is about 1945-46, and my grandmother had been engaged to somebody else. She had fallen in love with a man. He had asked her to marry him. And they had set plans to get married in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where they were from. Meanwhile, my grandfather, the groom in this picture, was somewhere in Europe in World War II. He served as a private in Patton's Third Army and was in the Battle of the Bulge. And while he was serving there, he was shot, and well, he was shot several times, but this specific time, I believe he was shot in the arm. And was wounded, later on got Purple Heart for that injury, but back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they would report on some of the hometown boys and what was going on and who was hurt and who was killed, et cetera, et cetera. And in the Milwaukee newspaper, there it was reported that Chuck Samanda, my grandfather, had been wounded. And my grandmother, all the way back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, was reading this and saw this, and she had gone to school with my grandfather. And throughout my whole life, she would always tell me what a huge crush she had on my grandfather when they were in grade school. She told me she was terrified to even talk to him. And one time, while they were walking home from school one day, his hand bumped hers. And she didn't sleep that night. She was so excited that their hands even touched, not on purpose. And so as she read in the newspaper that Chuck Samanda had been injured, she remembered all about this guy that she'd had such a crush on in her younger years. And they'd known the families and gone to school together. And she said, I wonder if I should just write him a letter. Just write him a letter and say I saw this and ask how he's doing. And she just wasn't sure. And she kind of went back and forth. And finally her two sisters were like, enough already. Just write him the letter. We're sick about hearing about this. So she wrote him a letter. And she had beautiful penmanship. Beautiful penmanship. And she wrote this letter, addressed it to him. I don't know how you address it, because there was like 2 million soldiers fighting for the Americans during World War II. I don't know how you get it to that exact one who's on the front lines. But he'd already been discharged from the medical hospital. He was back on the front lines. She ships out the letter. He told me his version of the story many times as well. He was in a foxhole in Belgium in the Battle of the Bulge. And he had a buddy with him in his foxhole. And the guy came through with the mail, and he says, Samanda, you got a letter. Throws a letter down there, and of course, when you're on the front lines, anything from home is just the most refreshing thing in the world. Anything from home from a member of the opposite sex is even better. If it's a letter from a girl, you have bragging rights, plus it's exciting. And so he sees this, and he opens it up, and he reads the letter in this foxhole in Belgium. And as he finishes the letter, he told me this. He said, he looked at the guy in his foxhole and he said, I'm going to marry that girl someday. Well, the correspondence kept on going back and forth, and the carefully laid plans that my grandmother had to marry this other guy slowly started to fade. And her plans changed when she finally realized that she was in love with my grandfather, thank the good Lord. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. She was falling in love with him, and he with her, and she called off the engagement. And her plans that she had carefully laid out took a different direction and started to change. She told me that the day before this day happened, the day before her wedding, the previous fiancé showed up at her door and tried to change her mind. Day before her wedding. Can you believe that? And she said, I wouldn't even go and answer the door. I just stayed and locked myself in the bathroom and wouldn't go out. I wasn't going out there. Her plans had changed, and she was going forward with these plans. And I'm so glad that she went forward with those plans. Otherwise, like I said, I wouldn't be here. Josh wouldn't be here. Callie wouldn't be here. Riley wouldn't be here. Aaron would be somewhere else, I guess. I don't know. So I'm glad her plans changed, as do many plans in our lives. Plans, even though we try to get our plans to be permanent, plans change all the time. But we're still planners, aren't we? We try and plan for everything. We plan for every detail of life, and it starts when we're little. Have you ever gone up to a little kid and said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the kid starts thinking, well, I better plan for that, hadn't I? I think I like being a fireman. I'm going to plan on being a fireman, or a police officer, or a nurse, or whatever. And we start thinking about that a long time in advance. When I got engaged, I realized that girls plan for their weddings long before there's even a guy involved. It's almost as if it doesn't matter who the guy is, we've got a plan. We're going to stick to that plan. I learned about something called a hope chest. I had no idea what a hope chest is. Is there anybody, please make me feel better, tell me there's somebody else in here who has no idea what a hope chest is. A few people? Okay, good. I had no idea what a hope chest was until I got married, and I realized that daughters, sometimes with their mothers, will start stashing stuff for when they're married. And it's like a big box. And there's like pots and pans. This is before there's even a guy involved. There's pots and pans and ideas about China. That was another big one I had no idea about. When I asked Aaron to marry me, I had no idea that part of the deal in order to get married was to register for China. I had no idea. I was just like, well, I need a tux. She needs a dress. We need a couple people to be there. We need a pastor to marry us. That's all we need. No, no. Women have this stuff way more planned out than men can even imagine and dream. But we're planners. We plan all this stuff. We plan for college, and we plan a career while we're in college. Sometimes the plans are just so, we plan to get married, plan to have kids, plan to retire, plan to go on vacation. We plan everything. One of the most interesting plans that I ever became aware of, and I think for men it's a continual learning process for the plans that are in life, because I think we have no idea about this. When we were about to have our first child, Callie, we went to Lamaze class, which was an interesting experience, and we learned that we were supposed to come up with a birth plan. Again, this was new territory for me as a first-time dad and as a we'd been married 3 or 4 years, I guess, at that point, but a birth plan. And this shows just how crazy we've gotten with planning things. This is where you, as more than likely a non-health professional, you plan for an extremely dicey, stressful, complicated medical situation to go absolutely perfectly, without a hitch, with beams of sunshine radiating from your room because you're having such a good time. And you're supposed to plan all of this out. Never once have I ever heard of anyone having their birth plan go exactly as planned. Never once. We like to plan everything. In life, we are planners. But sometimes we are tempted to think that if our plans have failed, that we are failures, and that our life is also a failure and has been lived poorly. So what do we do when life doesn't go as planned? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at a pair, a young woman, a young man, who had plans for their life, and these plans changed more drastically than they could ever have imagined. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, and we've seen Gabriel several times in our story this last month, Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man who was named Joseph. He was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This had to be rather exciting for Gabriel, by the way, because Gabriel is the one that shared all this information a long, long time ago with Daniel. He's the one that shared this information an even longer time ago with Adam and Eve, promising a Savior to be coming. He's the one that's been sharing this with people for a long, long time. And now the time, as the Bible says, has fully come. And Gabriel says, it's time for the visit. It's time for the visit. I get to go and announce that this is about to get kicked off. We are about to start. And Gabriel heads to Nazareth. In verse 28, it says, having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, what had been Mary's plan up until this point when Gabriel enters the room? Her plan had been to marry Joseph at some predestined date that they had decided in the future. They hadn't been married yet. Usually they would be engaged for about a year. And so in her mind, her plans were, next year is when I'll be getting married. And then maybe she and Joseph had talked about it. Maybe we can talk about starting a family, the two of us, having children later on. These were her plans. These are the thoughts that are going through her mind. She had no idea about these plans. None. Because the response she immediately has, it says she was troubled. She hears this news and she's like, wait a second, what? What's going to happen? It says she saw him, verse 29, and she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And again, we see the angel saying, don't be afraid. Almost every time an angel shows up, the angel says, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Mary's plans are now changing. And she seems a little bit disturbed by it. She doesn't really know how to handle this. Can you imagine having your whole life changed in one moment? Maybe that's already happened to you at some point in your life. Have you ever had your life plans change unexpectedly? Maybe the career that you wanted never happened. Maybe your marriage isn't everything that you dreamed it would be back on your wedding day. Maybe your kids' choices to depart from the path that you taught them have changed how you imagined you would spend your later years. Maybe your financial plan hasn't gotten you to the point of retirement on time like you had planned. Maybe you've experienced tragedy in your life that has changed everything that you thought would happen in your life. See, there's something about plans. It's good to be a planner, I think, but I think if we take our plans too seriously, it can mess us up a little bit. There's a quote. It says, what messes us up the most in life is the picture in our head of how it's supposed to be. What messes us up the most in life is the picture in our head of how it's supposed to be. Sometimes we put our life in this cookie-cutter little box and say, if it's not just like this, then I don't even know why I'm doing this. Then there can be no happiness for me in this life. If it's not just like I've always dreamed or planned, how can there be happiness in that? But sometimes life doesn't go as planned. There's curves, there's bumps, there's even crashes sometimes. Where is God when that happens? Where is God when we experience a speed bump in life, a curve? When our plans don't go exactly as we'd always imagined? Maybe God is waiting for you to ask about His plans for your future. Maybe He's waiting for you to trust your future to Him. Maybe He's waiting for you to let Him help you with your future. How can we handle the curveballs in life when they come up at us? Let's look at how Mary handles it. And we'll look at Joseph in just a minute. Verse 33 is where we just wrapped up. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and His kingdom there will be no end to. Then verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How can this be since I've never known a man? How is that even possible, Gabriel?" Now, I think there's a little bit of a different tone in her voice compared to Zacharias. You remember Zacharias? When Zacharias gets this big news, he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Do you realize how old we are?" There's a legitimate doubt there that is different, I think, versus Mary. Because Gabriel responds differently to Zachariah than to Mary. And this is a fair question, I think, for her. Not a doubtful question, but a fair question. She says, "Well, I can't see how that's physically possible right now. You see, we're not even married yet. Our wedding date is a ways off. This whole having babies thing is not part of my plan yet. I haven't planned for this yet. How is this going to happen?" In verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived of a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You may look back at some of the struggles in your life, some of the plans that didn't actually go out like you had planned for them to go out. And you might think, "Well, now it's impossible for me to live the dream that I've always wanted, to have that happiness that I've always dreamed of." But for God, nothing can be impossible. God can bring back happiness into your life where you have only seen defeat. God can bring happiness back into your life where you've only seen failure. God is the God of making wonderful things out of disappointments. And the angel Gabriel says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." So what is Mary's response to these big change in plans? Because this changes everything. Not only is she going to have a baby, which having a baby is a little intimidating when you have to look at this baby and think, "I have to raise this kid, hopefully to be a good kid." Being a parent is tough, isn't it? It's the only job that you start where you have zero experience yourself and you're expected to be the master at it. You're entrusted with a human being to raise this thing, to be responsible, to be God-fearing, God-loving, to be a good person. It's a huge responsibility. Multiply that by like 10 million. When the angel tells you you're going to be the parent of the Son of God, how much more intimidating is that as a parent? That's not what she planned. That's biting off more than she can chew, maybe she's thinking at this point. How am I ever going to do? What? How is this? I hadn't planned for this at all. This changes everything. What is Mary's response? In verse 38, it says, "Then Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Nobody likes change, right? There's a song that says, "We only like the past because at least we know we made it that far. The future is a little bit, change in the future makes us a little bit nervous." So how do we make it when our plans change? Mary's plans have just changed in the most dramatic way she could ever imagine. And her response to those change in plans is to trust God with an outcome she can't see into the future with. She has no idea how she's going to do this. But she trusts that the God who promises to be by her side will be there and will help her make it through these times that she can't see on the other end of. She doesn't know what she's about to go through. She has an inkling, but she has no idea of the life that she's about to enter onto here. And yet she goes forward trusting that God knows what he's doing and that he will be there to lift her up and to support her in every step of her journey. Life sometimes doesn't go as planned. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. There's another person in this story who his plans are totally, totally changed as well. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. From Joseph's perspective, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly or annul the engagement." Joseph's plans completely changed. And it's interesting here that Mary gets the heads up first. Before she becomes pregnant, she gets a heads up from Gabriel. There seems to be a span of time that happens where Joseph doesn't get that heads up. She's already pregnant. He still doesn't know the Gabriel story. He has no clue. His plans were to marry Mary and start a family, live life together. To be faithful to one another, to support one another, to do life together. And he knew that during their engagement time, that there's no way this could be his baby. That sure wasn't in his plans, was it? And so he decides to change plans a little bit. And he decides to very quietly annul this engagement and move on with his life. The Bible tells us, verse 20, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take to you Mary for your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife." Joseph's plans changed drastically as well. He wasn't planning on getting married this quickly. His plan was to marry her at the end of the engagement period. But with direction from the angel, he found out that his whole life plan was about to change in the most drastic way. And he and Mary, his bride, joined their lives together a little sooner than they had planned. They got married, moved in with each other, and he began supporting her in this journey that was uniquely to hers out of any human that's ever been born on this planet. And together, they lived out these change of plans and trusted that God would lead them together. Nothing goes as planned with Mary and Joseph. Their plans change so drastically. What happens when our plans and our lives change? Sometimes we're tempted to think that our life, because of changed plans, is a little bit of a disappointment. There's another quote I want to share. It says this individual says, "My entire life can be summed up in one sentence. It didn't go as planned, and that's okay." My entire life can be summed up in one sentence. It didn't go as planned, and that's okay. If we trust in our Heavenly Father, even though our plans don't go exactly as we'd always imagined, God will be with us, and I believe with all my heart, will bless us with His plans mingled with ours to give us the biggest blessings we can ever imagine in our lives that we may not have seen when we were crafting our own plans. When life didn't go according to plans, Mary and Joseph trusted God implicitly with everything in their whole life. Has life thrown you a curveball? Psalms 145:14 says, "The Lord upholds all of those who fall and lifts up all of those who are bowed down." When we fail sometimes in life, when our plans don't go exactly as we'd imagined, sometimes we're tempted to be down and out, to get a little depressed even sometimes. But God promises to uphold all those who fall and lift up those who are bowed down. Have your plans changed? Not sure what the next step is. Matthew 6, verse 34. "So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." Maybe you're scared of a change of plans. Maybe angry a little bit that your plans haven't gone as you've always wanted them to go. God can give you peace when your plans change. Isaiah 26, verse 3 through 4, "He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him, whose thoughts turn often to the Lord. Trust in the Lord God always, for in the Lord Jehovah is your everlasting strength." I love that first part. He will keep in perfect peace all of those who trust in Him. I want perfect peace, don't you? Every single one of us have had plans in our lives that have disappointed us. Things that we thought should happen this way and they happened that way. We felt disappointment at those things. Sometimes even wondered what we're going to do next. My challenge to you today is to make your plans flexible and to ask God to be the one that directs your plans. That's a little bit hard to do because sometimes we're control freaks if we're honest with ourselves, right? We're pretty impressed with our own plans because we like our plans. That's kind of what we want. But maybe what we want isn't the very best thing for us. When we trust our plans to God and let Him point us in the right direction, we can't go wrong. Long time ago, there was a guy, he looks clean-shaven in this picture. Most of the time when you think of Abraham Lincoln, you think of him with a beard. No mustache, right? Abraham Lincoln laid a lot of plans in his life. Many, many, many plans. In 1832, he had a job, and he'd planned to be at that job for a while. He lost that job. So he decided to try and go for the state legislature. He was defeated in 1832. 1833, change of plans. He's going to start his own business. But within that 1 year, his plans for being in business for himself completely fail. And he goes out of business in 1833. In 1835, the love of his life, Anne Rutledge, got sick. The woman he had planned to spend the rest of his life with got sick and died in 1835. Plans changed. 1836, what had been a healthy Abraham Lincoln suffered from a nervous breakdown. His plans changed again. 1838, he was defeated after running for the Illinois House Speaker. 1843, he was defeated in nomination for Congress. Plans weren't going as he had originally had in his mind. In 1848, he lost renomination for Congress. 1854, he was defeated in his run for the Senate. In 1856, he planned to be the Vice President of the United States, and he was defeated in his nomination. So he decided he'd run for the Senate. And in 1858, he was defeated in his plans to be a U.S. Senator. His plans changed, changed, and kept on changing from what he had imagined would be the perfect thing. But in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected to be the President of the United States, and just at the right time. You see, I believe God was using his leadership at the right time to eradicate one of the most horrible practices in human history. And that is slavery. Looks like our wasp friend is back here. I thought we'd gotten rid of those wasps a couple weeks ago. Wait, change of plan. What do we do now? We might end this a little bit differently than we had planned. But I believe God's plans for Abraham Lincoln's life involved all those curveballs so that he could do something so amazing that would change the course of the history of our country for a much better country. He had no idea that that was in store for him later on, the good that he would be able to do later on. And when he was going through these disappointments in his plans, I doubt he could see the light at the end of the tunnel there as he was defeated over and over, as his plans changed over and over and over again. But I believe that when we trust our lives to God and trust him implicitly, even when our plans don't go as we'd always imagined, that the God who promises to never leave our side will guide our footsteps. There's a promise in the Bible, and I love this promise. It says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I love that promise. That's God saying to you, you've lost your plans, you don't know what to do next. You will hear my voice behind you saying, this is the way, go this way, make this way your plans. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you need to know what your plans are, what your plans should be, what God's plans are for you, check out his word. He says that this word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. That means you'll be able to see where you're supposed to go. When your plans go to pot, that's kind of a mental darkness where you're not sure where to go. This is the way you will be able to find light for your path, to find plans for your life, what God wants you to do. God's word can be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And if you ask him to help make your plans, he promises in the Bible that you will hear a voice behind you. It'll be an impression. Maybe it'll be an audible voice. I don't know how God will tell you, but he promises in the Bible that you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk that way. Make your plans to go this way. And you will see the blessings in your life start to bloom and blossom on the sides of your path. Blessings that you didn't even know could exist. The doubts and disappointments will be in your past. and God will give you a bright and shining future based on his plans. If you're not sure what those plans are, spend some time reading this book. And if you still haven't found it, spend more time reading this book. And when you have found it, spend more time reading this book to see what God continues to put before you in your path. When Mary and Joseph had a huge change in plans in their life, they trusted God and moved forward. When the plans that you've put in for your life change, trust in God's plans, and he will point you in the right direction. We're going to sing a closing song today. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. It's 125 in your hymnals if you'd like to follow along there, and we'll have the words replacing Mr. Lincoln here in a minute. And let's all stand together as we sing this. I am so glad that we have a God we can turn to when our plans go down the toilet. We have a God that we can turn to who will guide our footsteps. And it's this time of year that I'm exceptionally thankful that God went so far to come down and help us. Let's sing together, Joy to the World. I'm so glad that we serve a God who not only can change our plans and point us in the right direction, but that can also heal us from the hurt that some of the disappointments have led us to in life. When we look back at some of the change in plans, sometimes there are feelings of hurt, disappointment, failure. But God is a God that heals as well as points us in the right direction. And I believe that God will heal our hearts from those disappointments, rejuvenate us, and point us in the right direction. And I'm so thankful for a God who cares that much about me and you, to pay that close attention to our lives and to help us when we need it most. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for going so far to save us. We read these stories about Zechariah and John the Baptist and Mary and Joseph and the wise men and Herod and all these different people in the story. And Lord, we would miss everything if we didn't realize that the whole point of this Christmas story is your love for each one of us as individuals. You loved us so much that you would go that far to make sure that we had a chance, an opportunity to know that love and accept that love and be with you forever. And so, Father, this Christmas season, as we open presents, as we have lit trees and sing songs, Lord, in the forefront of our mind, may we remember your love for us, and that this whole Christmas season is about you wanting to save us and to be with us for eternity. Lord, help that love to soak into our hearts today. And our response, Lord, may it be one of thankfulness and submission to you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.